This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective.
You're watching Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and X as we talk East Carolina baseball. Land lies the previous week while also taking a look at what lies ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate Baseball.
Welcome into Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com. As the Pirates, a wild week as they go 4-0, 31-8 overall. They're now 11-4 in the conference, a four-game winning streak, 20-2 at home, and 10-6 on the road. And I tell you what, Kyle Barber, if you ever needed some kind of, I was getting ready to say a decongestant, but not a decongestant, but some heartburn medicine for sure, high blood pressure medicine. It was Tuesday night. How are you, sir?
Yeah, Tuesday night was... It was something else. I mean, we obviously going to look at the series with Wichita State. Yep. I normally don't like to look back at the midweek game very much because it's so long ago, but this one has to be looked back at. It was nuts. And no, you know, no TV unless you had a subscription to Flow. So most people don't, at least unless you're a Colonial fan. They got to do something about that, by the way. CAA, can you please get with ESPN? But yeah, Tuesday night was nuts. That was one of the craziest games I've ever listened to in my life. And then to come back after that and get the sweep over Wichita State was really remarkable. So I think a heck of a week. And, you know, we've had to score some runs at times. And, you know, we had to battle. We had to battle Tuesday night. Crazy strike zone. And then we had to battle game one of the doubleheader, getting down 7-0. So, I like that. I think those kinds of games build character. You hate to be in those kinds of games, but right. It shows this team has the ability to fight and win and perseverance.
No doubt. Bubba Rosenbaum from China Grove, North Carolina. Bubba, I tell you what, did you ever like sit down this week? Because you and I both love to pace around. I tell you what, it was nuts between the Tuesday night game and, like Kyle said, the second game, which was the first game of the doubleheader with the rain, all the weather, inclement weather situation going on. How about you?
Yeah, 5.5-hour marathon on Tuesday night. You jump out to that 4-run lead after a half inning. The first three batters of the game, home run, triple, home run for Riley Johnson, Carter Cunningham, and JC. And then the Tribe responds immediately, and that was a sign of what we were in store for over the next 5+ hours. And you battle from behind multiple times in that game, and then a couple times there in the last 4 or 5 innings in the end of, I think it was the 9th, 11th, and 13th, we had leads. Yeah. And, you know, a couple times we failed to hold them, and then we held on for dear life there in the bottom of the 13th, when bases loaded, leading by a run, and then they have a 400-foot fly out where Riley Johnson does what he so often does and make a tremendous play in center field, right there up against the wall. And, you know, he kind of jokingly fell down, just a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, and we can get guys here to comment. Welcome into Justin, and I know that Johnny Robertson, JR, what's up? I tell you what, with that William & Mary game, did you guys feel like, I know it wasn't a regional, but it felt like a regional-type game because of all the drama, the back and forth. I know it wasn't maybe regional-like play, but it had a regional-like feeling to me.
I know what you're saying, but no. Because you would never have a home plate umpire call that kind of strike zone in a
regional. No.
That dude needs to be fired. He should never call another Division I college game. Horrible.
Hey, notice Justin Butts. Notice that's coming from Kyle. I'm usually the guy that's – I wasn't going to say anything, but Justin, maybe you can comment on that strike.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure Justin agrees wholeheartedly.
Okay.
I know. A lot of times I'll discuss that element of the game with him, with his background and you know, some of the –
You know, we to be fair, Bubba, we didn't get to see it, but I'm going to take Gary Overton and, Scooter's Cliff word. Godwin's word. Cliff Godwin's word, yes. Yeah, and just what happened in the freaking game. I mean, come on. Good God. But, yeah, just in the same game. Look, I honestly, 94.3, you know, they were having trouble with their app, and I can listen to it on the radio, but there's an Hispanic station somewhere, I think in Wayne County, that interferes with it here on the Lenore Green Wayne County line. So if I try to listen to it through the FM feed, I'm getting Mexican music blended in with it. So the app wouldn't work. So I honestly did not get to start listening to it until the 8th. And I listened to the 8th through the 13th. And I swear to God, I think it was 2 hours. I was two hours.
Right. You're
from
right.
The 8th through the 13th. It was nuts.
I was in D.C. and was coming home listening to the game, and it was a struggle back and forth. That's why I had to use the app. And I get home, and finally I can use the app at like 9 o'clock. It was like I was telling you, Kyle, pre-show meeting, where I would hear part of an inning, and then it would go out, and then I would come. I was having battling just to keep the game on the app. And
we've been told, anybody who's wondering that reason, we won't say the source, but we've been told that the reason for that was 94.3 only pays for a certain amount of streamers per game. And because of that game having no real television or streaming service for video, being on Flow, no ESPN Plus, and the drama of the game, and we're the 9th ranked team in the country, so non-ECU fans also listening, that they far exceeded their normal listeners, so they had to pay for more streaming. I don't know how you want to say that, more streaming listeners, more streaming bandwidth during the game, which finally they got it up where everybody could listen to it by the 8th, 9th inning. So, if anybody was wondering why that was, that trouble listening to it, that's why it was. And hopefully, that's something 94.3 will be aware of going forward when the games are not on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, Mike Radford joins us.
And particularly not at home. Well, if they're not at home, that wouldn't be the only time they're on ESPN Plus.
Mike Radford said he was there. Mike, I know, appreciate you, man. I tell you what, a lot of great fans like Mike. I want to get an idea how many Pirate fans were there for that Tuesday night game. Man, those guys battled and battled and battled. And then that's we talk about the he was saying a few have said anything about how cold it was. No, I haven't heard anything about that. I've just heard about the people talking about the
I heard it was in the 50s. I heard Scott say it was in the 50s during the game, that the temperature had dropped down. So I mean, 50s, I guess it ain't that cold, but I guess at night if the wind's blowing, in April, you're not used to it because we've had such warm. I think it's supposed to get into 30s one night this week here. So I don't know. Is that Tuesday
night?
We play State Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see. I believe it is Tuesday night. Give me one. Yeah. In the 30s. So, if y'all think it was cold in Williamsburg in the 50s the other night, be ready.
Yeah.
And Mike says that there were. I had seen in the box score the announced attendance was 1,000. And
that's good for them.
And he confirms, you know, what I would have probably guessed to be the case, that much like the game I attended over at Elon a few weeks back, and that approximately, you know, 80% of the crowd, 800, were Pirates.
It sounded like, I was just going to, the reason I ask you that, Mike, it sounded like, obviously we don't have a, you know, like we talked about, it was not on television, or it was on Flow rather, not on ESPN Plus. But it sounded like there was a lot of Pirate fans there, considering this a road game. And very cool that you go to a lot of the road games, Mike. And there's a lot of guys like you and the Rosenbaums and different ones that I don't know if Johnny was there. Johnny Robertson up in the Northern Virginia area, not too far of a drive for him. But that was great. And that just goes to show you how great that's one of the things, guys, I was thinking about this morning when I first woke up, is how great this fan base is and how great we travel. You look at the fan base, they didn't want to give up on this Pirate team, especially we can talk about that second game where we're down 7-0 early on in the third inning, early on in the game, and those Pirates fight back really quick. And the fans after that point really got into the game, and thankfully for all four games, they were there for the Pirates.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I say, you know, what was it, 25 men left on for Bubba for William and Mary? Like 19 for us.
He's got it.
You get those box scores, those stats, because it's wacky.
They have the record, I believe, for the most left on base, right, Bubba? William and Mary does?
Yeah, 5.5-hour game. William and Mary left 27 on in the 13 innings. That tied an NCAA record, Division I record, at least.
That's hard. Wasn't it 44 total? It was like 27 for them and 17 from the box score I read, 17 for us.
17 for the Pirates. And that total of 44 was not a record or just shy of a record like we originally thought. Johnny Robertson was mistaken. You know, he corrected himself on that. And it was actually a game from probably like the mid-90s, I want to say, that was 19 innings, and there were 53 left on base. But nonetheless, it was, six fewer innings, and you still had 44 left on. We talked about the strike zone being ridiculous, you know, how small it was. I mean, keep in mind that going into that game, William and Mary was 25-11, and the Pirates were 27-8. So these are two very good baseball teams. And sure, we've had, as I'm sure they have as well, you know, isolated occasions where you've had pitchers struggling with command, like you're always going to have. But at the same time, I mean, two teams of this caliber, and you had East Carolina alone in 13 innings, 20 free passes, 16 walks, 4 hit batters, 5 wild pitches, and then 3 errors. The Tribe had 13 free passes, so 8 walks, 5 hit batters. In the game, there were 33 free passes.
Well, 33 walks.
Yeah, and you think what
24 walks and then nine hit batters.
Okay.
Yeah, and you think, well, what do the hit batters have to do with the umpire? Well, it becomes frustration and trying to find that strike zone, and you know, it just happens when you're walking people that much. It was literally what it sounded like, you know, and what Coach O and everybody was saying. Basically, if it went right down the middle, if they didn't swing at it, he wasn't calling it a strike.
Right.
If it was not down the middle and it wasn't swung at, he was not calling it a strike.
And you definitely got your well, I'll say this for all of us baseball fans, we got our money's worth, not the way we wanted it, but we definitely got extra innings and a lot of free baseball. But again, we would much rather be back on the bus. And I know that Pirate fans and obviously the especially if you're living in the Greenville area.
And my apologies to Johnny Robertson. In our mega thread, I thought it was him that had posted the incorrect info. It was him that had chimed in, correcting whoever it was. You know, he was providing the correct info.
You're going to get
Johnny. And I think he's, now that I think about it, I think he's saying that just joking around, because this was one of those rare instances where he had to go back and fact check himself. Because he does such an excellent job of providing us with stats as well as, you know, other programs in Greenville.
No, Johnny Stats, man, I'm not going to bet against that guy. JR is one of the best Pirate fans. And obviously when it comes to stats, but Tuesday night's game, Kyle, you made a great point building character for this team. And what I was going to tell you guys is what I was thinking about is, when not to overlook our season by any stretch of the imagination, but you're going to have games that when we get in the postseason that are going to be wild and wacky. Well, how do we pull that out? And
Dave, I'll venture to say, and Bubba, see if you agree with this, that you know what happened Tuesday night may play directly into the way we ate. You stayed focused, came back, and came from a 7 deficit. You came from a 7-run deficit. in game one of the doubleheader, game two of the series, to dominate that game the rest of the way. You know, what happened Tuesday night could play directly into that. Hey, we can, you know, we ain't never out of it no matter what happens. You know, while we never got down that much to William & Mary, if we win that, we can win anything. You know, it could have already paid dividends.
No doubt. And how about when it comes to injuries and stuff, and you have Star when he had his injury, and you've got guys coming off the bench that are great, and Dixon Williams, who played, you know, he talked about that, played most of his career at second base, including high school, and he's moved over to third base, and now he's back in basically his comfort zone. So that didn't Colby Wallace at third, and he's done well at the bat and at third base. So you think about that too. We could easily be struggling in the infield. We're not. I'm just saying that when you have injuries, you don't know how, if those guys are going to step up, or if you move guys around, how they're going to do. And man, they've played very, very well.
Yeah, no doubt. Colby has really played well, particularly at the bat.
Yeah, the depth of this team, not only this week, but over the last two or three weeks, and with Jacob Starling's injury, has really been showcased. You know, Colby Wallace is really emerging, making, obviously last week we didn't have a show, but one of the things I was going to highlight last week was one of those plays, dive and stop he made. I believe it was the Sunday game against Charlotte. Ball headed down the line, unbelievable stop, and then he has a big league arm over there at third. And then he's done some nice things with the bat, as we'll discuss. And when we're talking about this sweep of Wichita State, had a three-hit game against the Shockers. And then Dixon Williams has been playing well, both at the plate and with the glove at second base. And you've obviously had – you've had Cam Clotch, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Get some opportunities and really make the most of them. And so many guys up and down this lineup, as we'll – as we'll discuss more here in the next little bit.
Yeah. And do we want to say anything else about the William & Mary game Tuesday night? Or are we ready to move on to
quickly talk about the lineup? The top five guys in the order against the Tribe: Riley Johnson, 3-for-6, Carter Cunningham, 4-for-7, Jacob Jenkins Cowart, 3-for-6, Dixon Williams, 2-for-6. And then Bristol Carter, 3-for-7. And so you had three bombs on the night. I talked about right there in the first three batters we sent to the plate. You had two of those with Riley Johnson and JC. And then later on, Bristol Carter hit a home run, and he drove in three runs on the night. So it was definitely more of your stereotypical midweek game, as far as a lot of arms, a lot of runs being scored, on 27 in total between the two teams. And you kind of perhaps lost to some. I know it obviously wasn't on the coaching staff, but just fans, was the performance out of the bullpen of Jake Hunter. And then also Wyatt Lunsford-Chinkman pitched well. You hated to see Wyatt and then also Danny Beal have to throw a combined 130 pitches.
Yeah.
Anytime in the midweek, but especially going into, you know, big conference series with Wichita State like that, 74 for Wyatt and 56 for Danny. And then Jake Hunter pitched really well. I think he had an inning in a third or inning in two thirds, and was probably more effective than anyone on Tuesday night.
Yeah, those guys, you know, we've always said that they have good stuff, and, you know, they had their moments, but you're right about that, Bubba. That was overlooked on Tuesday because of the wacky craziness of what was the final was, what, 14-13? It was kind of like Kyle's, like a football game more than obviously baseball.
Yeah, William & Mary missed the extra point. it was a high-scoring game, exciting game, crazy game. One of the more interesting games I've ever listened to. Wish I could have watched it. Great to get the hell out of Williamsburg with the win. And hats off to everybody, you know, all the guys for playing their asses off and not, you know, on the road like that, when you're dealing with that strike zone and you're going in the extra innings and you're at their house. I mean, it is so easy
give
to,
up
to throw in the towel. Like, well, yeah, screw this, let's just go home. But we didn't, and it looked like we were going to blow it at the end. And I got to get those last two outs like we did after where the bases loaded. There was a man on third anyway.
Yeah
bases loaded. And one out, and then we get the strikeout, and then the long fly out, which was, you know, that was scary. But in the game, win by one, and come home to play the Shockers.
Sounds good to me. And then, Bubba, obviously, do you want to move on to the Shockers?
Yeah, that game on Friday against Wichita State. Last Sunday, as I mentioned, you know, we didn't have a show, but Trey Savage was our PGXGloves.com pitcher of the week a week ago, had we had a show, because of his performance against Charlotte. And that combined no-hitter, one of two no-hitters, something we'll talk a little bit more about, be it now or a little bit later on. You had the combined no-hitter against Elon, Pirates winning big over the Phoenix, and then once again over the weekend against the 49ers. But Trey, was excellent. What, struck out 15? And 15 strikeouts. He ended up going, 6 2/3 or something like that. I'll go over the exact numbers. But in 18 outs, he had 15 Ks. Pretty remarkable, to say the least.
And are you talking about the Charlotte game?
No, 15 Ks against the Shockers. And
okay, it sounded like you were still talking about the Charlotte game.
No, I said once again, he was excellent this weekend against Wichita State. And okay. And 15 strikeouts, very sharp. Did hit a bit of a wall there in the seventh inning, just because, you know, having thrown, I think it was right around 115 pitches, 120 pitches, because of us having to tax the bullpen so much on Tuesday. And another great thing, we had established that 6-0 lead, and then, you know, unfortunately didn't keep adding to it. We were forced to hold on there for the 6-4 victory.
And how about that? How about the way the bullpen was, you know, we were out of pitchers and Tuesday night, and to come back and get the sweep against Wichita with the way that bullpen was abused, you know, through no fault of our own Tuesday night, is remarkable.
It really is. And also the fact that coming away, we always talk about my biggest concern for this year was the health of our pitchers and the pitching. And that's another thing that I've been concerned about, is how guys, these guys are resilient. And I know they're competitors, and I know Cliff Godwin thankfully cares more about their next level, their well-being.
Yeah.
Because if not, you could easily see guys like that pitcher. I can't remember who it was for, but we talked about that about last season. That guy threw like a couple hundred pitches. It was something nuts. I can't remember the exact number, but the coach should not allow a player to pitch that long. But anyway, that's another show. But that just shows how great Cliff Godwin is and Austin Knight. They care about these guys. And you look at you talk about pitch counts. And then you have, what's crazy is you have.
Well, also, Dave, to your point, we're not just trying to win a game. We're trying to win championships.
Exactly.
And you need your pitchers all season. You know, where whatever game you're referring to, I don't know which game you're referring to exactly, where the pitcher threw 200 pitches, but it's probably
maybe 150. It was something.
It was probably a situation where they were just trying to win a game, and you know, it still shouldn't do it. But you know, you got to keep your pitchers healthy for the long run.
No doubt, Bubba, and these guys are. I know as far as our fans have had, you know, we've struggled some at the, obviously that, like we talked about many times with the bullpen. However, these pitchers, these relief pitchers have, they're doing a lot better. Queens. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. I knew that he would know. I can't remember the Johnny stats, maybe knows.
I remember that game well. Queens and Kannapolis. Was that game in Kannapolis or was that in Charlotte? Either way, I remember
that game was in Kannapolis.
Yeah, Queens out of Charlotte. School I'd never heard of that I thought was in New York. And then I found out that was their first year of Division I and they're in Charlotte. Yep. I still bet you right now, if you poll if you poll like 100 people, pick 100 people at random,
you're right.
Poll them and you ask them where Queens University is, I guarantee you, in North Carolina, poll 100 random people in North Carolina and ask them where Queen, outside of the city of Charlotte, ask them where Queens University is, I guarantee you 90% of them will say New York.
You're right.
And Johnny's correct. Yes, Daniel Bagwell was the right-handed pitcher for Queens.
I mean, he was really he was their ace pitcher, right, Bubba? Johnny, both Johnnies. I think that's right off the top of my head.
Yeah, because I saw him. I saw him pitch, you know, probably a couple weeks or so after that, in downtown Charlotte, in their game against App State, and because I was laughing and just. How much that kid was pitched over over, you know, about a 3 or 4 week period there.
No doubt. I tell you what, it's great though that I was bragging about. Sorry, guys, that for those that are watching, listening, not to get on a tangent there, but just I just wanted to brag about how much I think of Cliff Godwin and what he does, and obviously Austin Knight, and although they care about their players and. The staff does as well, and that just shows you right there. And guys, another thing, it goes to show, speaking of Plumbo, being a recruiting coordinator, how he does a great job recruiting, where we don't have – it's not like we just have you Savage and we have nobody else. And these guys, Eric Ritchie and a lot of the guys, are really good. And, man, we're going to need them. We're going to need them, especially down the stretch. And – Bubba, I tell you what, with another thing, we had it basically, I was telling Kyle on the pre-show right before you came on with us, Bubba, that we basically had a doubleheader Tuesday night. I know unofficially, well, it was 5.5 hours. It felt like a doubleheader anyway. And then we had a doubleheader yesterday. So look at all, the amount of innings we played this week has been a lot.
Yeah, and I actually had one other thing going back to the two run rule no hitters on the previous week. This is something, had we had a show, I was going to note 2024 ECU commit and or signee Dawson Kerr out of Hagerstown, Maryland. Congratulations to him because he threw a no hitter the same day that that we threw one of our no hitters. I believe it was that Tuesday game. So congratulations to him. And not only was his a no hitter, but it hit his was a perfect game.
Wow, that those are obviously rare for a reason. What's up, Chuck?
Another great future Pirate on the way, so that's good to see. Anything else about Friday night's game against Wichita?
I think we can move on to the doubleheader, Bubba. And one of the things I want to say, I know weather is a part of Eastern North Carolina and everywhere. But did you guys, it was kind of depressing today because the weather wasn't great and I didn't have my Pirates to watch or listen to. But, hey, the main thing is we swept the Shockers and it was kind of the same thing. It was great to be able to spend time with my kids and watch movies and play video games with them instead of they do like watching the games and listen to them. But, man.
Yeah, no doubt. I had a Sunday to do other things, but – So we get the win Friday night, and then game one of the doubleheader, game two of the series yesterday, Pirates get off to a horrible start. Because Wichita jumps all over us 7-0. Things are not looking good. But, you know, I kind of had a feeling, and I don't know about you guys, that we were going to bounce back. I kind of just could see it in the guys' eyes that this wasn't going to be they were going to blow us out or we were going to get, we took control of that game after getting down 7-0. Even when we were still down 7-6, we were in complete control of that game after they went 7-0. Even before we got the lead, it just felt like we had the lead.
You're right about that. My mom and my dad does too. They love the games and they get into it. It's funny watching your parents get into ball games. My mom is cheering really hard. Every pitch she wants it to be, we were talking about a strike. Sometimes she doesn't always agree with the call, but it's fun to watch ball games with your, I don't know about you guys, but with your family or friends. I love watching, unless they're pulling against your team. Obviously that's a total different story.
Yeah, no doubt. It's always good to watch with family and friends or by yourself. If you're watching it by yourself, always good to watch long as the Pirates are winning. But we get down seven nothing, and you battle back. We make it, 7-4 in the next, and then immediately cut into the game, cut it to 3 runs, and keep battling. Do we want to go inning by inning through this?
Right after in that 7-run third for Wichita State, you had a little bit of everything, like you would probably
walks and grand. It was a grand slam.
Guess in an inning like that, you had at least 2 free passes from Zach Rood, a hit batter, a walk. You had an E, and then that loaded the bases. Then you have the grand slam that snuck out inside the left field foul pole, and then you had another hit, and then you had a home run that got out of the yard a little more easily. And then the Pirates respond immediately with the 5 spot in the bottom of the third. And then at that point, like Kyle said, Zach Root kind of settled in. He put up some zeros, and you really felt very confident that we're going to come back and win the game, and we did. And that was a theme throughout the day, because as we'll get to, we dug a multi-run deficit in the second game and proceeded to win going away.
Props to Godwin and Knight for sticking with Root. You know, a lot of people would have pulled him, and it would have been justified. But he didn't give up another run the rest of the damn game. So hats off to him for bouncing back after giving up 7 runs like that, where you literally could have just fell apart. First of all, coaching staff could have pulled him. Second of all, if they didn't at that point, he could have fell apart, but he didn't. Right. And I'm sure that had a lot to do with the way the offense responded to cut immediately into the lead. Probably gave him his confidence back to get his control and pitch lights out the rest of the way.
And then we talked about Danny Beal having thrown 56 pitches on Tuesday night. Danny, tremendous in relief in game one of that doubleheader. 3 innings, did not allow a run or a hit, and a couple of Ks. So awesome to have such a tremendous relief performance by Danny Beal.
No doubt. You guys know I sent you that text that said Dylan. He had one of those amazing strikeouts. And I love, by the way, our pitchers with the emotion coming off the mound, like Evan Norby. And I know that also Danny did that one time. And, man, I love that. I love the emotion because it is an emotional game. Everybody wants – there's some people that don't understand baseball, think it's boring. It's so much drama and so much excitement in the game that, anyway, they're probably not watching the show anyway or listening. But congratulations, man. I tell you what, you're right, Bubba, about the having that first game down 7-0, and then you have the second game. We were down 3-0 early, right, in the first?
Yeah, they scored 3 runs in the top of the first, and the series finale, and we didn't respond immediately. Had some opportunities to do so, but stranded some runners in scoring position after having them there with less than 2 outs. But that's going to happen at times. But on the whole, how many of these runs? The majority of these runs that we scored, like I think all 5 of those in the bottom of the third of game one of the doubleheader came with 2 outs. Our two out hitting. Right. And two strike hitting was tremendous.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad said we were watching a baseball game, a major league game, and he said that night, I'll never forget that, he said, in baseball, it's really hard to get 3 outs. We were watching our team, I think, lose, or the other team was coming back on him, and, man, it was so true. I thought about that when we were watching that first game of the doubleheader where the 2-out hitting, you're right, Bubba, was like, wow, we got those 2 outs, and next thing you know, we had a rally.
That's a hallmark of Cliff Godwin baseball, really, is 2-out hitting.
That's true. Yeah.
I think that's something he really preaches. I think the other team, lots of times kind of relaxes when you have 2 outs on the board, and if you got some guys on base, it's really a good time to strike. And then once you get it going, I think really the pitcher – for the other team, and the defense starts to get frustrated because they keep thinking about getting that third out rather than just, making the plays. So, that's kind of a hallmark of Cliff Godwin baseball, and something this team seems to do really well.
And that doubleheader was kind of a microcosm of everything that is East Carolina baseball. No, you didn't get a good start, so that was missing, but you saw some excellent pitching. You saw our ability to do so much offensively. You had Justin Wilcoxon with a two-homer game. You had Joey Barini hit a couple bombs. You had Cam Clonch, a four-hit performance and a home run. So not only was the depth showcased, our ability to attack you in so many ways and to produce runs was highlighted with extra base hits, home runs, safety sacks, and suicide squeezes.
Safety sack? What are we talking, football?
Yeah, safety sack bunt.
So. Bubba's clearly distracted by a child.
Yeah. So
distracted why?
Say again?
I said distracted why?
Oh, you were pausing every few seconds. It sounded like you were distracted.
Well, Josh Thomas says that he thinks that we were 8 of 13 with two outs the first game yesterday of the doubleheader, and wow, that's very strong. I wouldn't doubt it because we were hitting very, very well. But it goes back to what you were talking about, Kyle. You make a great point of where people are going to strike when they think already. And another thing, guys, is you could tell, I don't know if it was game one or two. I think it was game one. The pitcher, you could see him, his facial expressions, and you could see him, his deep breaths, like, you know, like that, you know, like the pressure was just really getting to him. And I said, all right, guys, now's the time to strike. Because it's like, oh, God, here we go again. Those guys.
Yeah, and some guys do that. Some guys just do that. They're settling themselves down. They're doing it in between pitches. I don't know if that's that guy's normal procedure to go through or if the stress was getting to him, particularly in that game. If you see your pitcher doing that and that's out of his norm, you're probably going to pull him. So my guess maybe is that's his norm, but who knows? I don't know which I'll say it like that.
Well, I tell you, the main thing is we got the wins. And, guys, Tuesday night is going to be – Bubba, did you have anything else for the two games yesterday?
Well, we really didn't talk about game two of the doubleheader very much.
That's true. We can go ahead and discuss that. We were talking about the 3-0 deficit. But there again, you think about guys, when you see that deficit, you don't get, and I knew it was the first inning, but you don't get worried because you know the bats will definitely come.
Well, you just came down from 7-0, so there's something to worry about.
Yeah.
Expanding, you know, as far as a little more detail about how our depth presented itself, in addition to the ways we already discussed, you had in game two, you had all 9 guys in the lineup with a hit, 4 of those guys with multi-hit games. Riley Johnson reached base all 5 times, 2 for 2 with 3 walks. Cam Clonch, 4 for 5, like I already mentioned, with a home run. Carter Cunningham, 2 for 5. Joey Barini, 3 for 5 with another home run after having hit a big home run in game one of the doubleheader. And that's something that sometimes folks can overlook is just how Joey has a little bit of sneaky power. Battling that wrist injury early in the season, I mean, he was hitting just a little over 200, but he has really had some quality at bats here of late. Last week against Charlotte, he had a big AB. It was actually in the game we lost when we battled back, and it was to load the bases to set up Riley Johnson's 3-run double. I never went back and checked, but it had to be a 12 or 13 pitch at bat. I think he fouled off probably 8 or 9 pitches with 2 strikes. It was one of the top at bats of the year.
No doubt. And another thing I want to mention, guys, before I forget is, and we can get the comments from our viewers and listeners, is certainly with this team, the level of leadership that we have on this team for the seniors. You think about Cam Clonch, a guy that could be playing anywhere. He's so selfless, and he comes off the bench platooning with Carter Cunningham. Look at what a great day he had. Then you look at, you talk about Breeny, Riley Johnson. There's so many guys, Starling, so many guys that are seniors that have played so many games, and that are, I don't think we give them enough credit, because I know that they're older and we've talked a lot about them, but let's not forget the senior class that means so much to the program.
Yeah, no doubt. These seniors have, you know, put in the time and, you know, contributed, and you don't get, you know, in college basketball, you don't get it. Well, nowadays, in any sport with the transfer portal, you don't get everybody here till your senior season, but typically in college baseball, a lot of guys leave early for the draft. So, you know, if you're here all 4 years and you're contributing all 4 years, and it's special to be a senior on a baseball team. And, you know, it used to be way different, in my opinion, than any other sport to be a senior because of the draft situation. But now, I guess, with the transfer portal, guys don't stay 4 years very many places anywhere for any sport.
No question. Bubba, I know with those guys, they have said they want to make a statement, and they've been really close, you know, and their time here and regionals and different things, and they're disappointed. Obviously, the way the Charlottesville regional turned out, they, I think, feel like they should have won that. And they've got one more chance. So they feel the sense of urgency. Some of the guys will never play baseball again, right? Or we'll see. But they certainly know that their ECU playing days are coming a little over, well, hopefully 2 months left, but we'll see how much longer they have.
Yeah, and one of those guys you reference is undoubtedly Riley Johnson. Last week, I think he was 8 out of 15. Highlight reel plays in center field. Was our PGXGloves.com player of the week a week ago. And I did my best. You know, we try to spread the love with this, but at the same time, we want to give it to who's most deserving. And this week, once again, after crunching the numbers and thinking about the plays he made, Riley Johnson, 3 multi-hit games.
Those catches, Bubba, this week.
Yeah, the unbelievable highlight reel catches in center field, one where he was going to his right, full extension into the left center field gap, comes to mind. That was discussed with the players post game yesterday. And Carter Cunningham was talking about it. He said, you know, most times you think, well, that's a double. But with Riley Johnson out there, he said, you know, it has a good chance of being an out. So Riley, 9 for 16. So what that makes him, 17 out of 31. Insane over the last 2 weeks. Well over 500. He reached base via free pass at least 4 or 5 more times. So what a table setter he has been atop this lineup. Extremely hard, to say the least, to get Riley Johnson out.
Yeah, and how about the fact that his defense, we're talking about his offense too, but his defense, man, that catch that he extended himself and he hurt his shoulder again, and they had to basically out in center field, the play was stopped yesterday. He pops his shoulder back in. Most of us would have been taken off the field and probably iced up and everything. That dude's been playing hurt. I guess he's like, I've been playing hurt for so long. That just tells you that the toughness of that kid. I know that Coach Godwin talks a lot pregame and obviously, well, it's definitely postgame, about how much he rehabs, and just for all he does, the hours he puts in just to be able to play the game is amazing.
Yeah, you can tell how much Cliff, you know, and as well as his teammates, you know, respect Riley and just his toughness and, you know, the whole toughness over talent that we wear on the backs of some of the shirts that the team is issued. And, you know, he epitomizes that. And in the post game yesterday, Cliff talked about, you know, when he laid down that bunt, that was actually, even though it's something he does very well, he did that out of necessity because of his shoulders. He could not swing the bat, but he was able to get that bunt past the pitcher and get that squeeze down.
Just it's those kinds of things that when you think about guys and what you'll remember them for, there are things in the box scores that you always hear from any sport that guys do and they don't get credit for. And that guy is one of those guys that, as I said in our group chat, clutch for sure. Guys with a JR says a crazy stat. The Pirates leadoff batter has reached base safely in all 39 games and 83 times total. Riley Johnson, 37 games, and Carter Cunningham, 2 games. That's why I love you, Johnny Stats. You're the best. That is crazy. I didn't realize that. I know that Riley's percentage was great, but I didn't know it was that good for sure. But Cliff is great. That's why he's our head coach when it comes to the lineup.
Ham sandwich.
All right. I think a ham sandwich is what Kyle wanted. Did you want the ham sandwich, Kyle?
No, well, that was not me. That was I had Chinese for dinner. That was on Bubba's Inn.
I'm joking. Josh says, "What's up, fellas? Have a week. Best start through the first 39 games since 2004." And you guys know that.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that.
I didn't either until he put it up there. So thank you, Josh. You're the best.
Yeah, 31-8. Obviously, that mark this year, 33-6 was that record back in 2004, a team that went on to the Super Regionals and, of course, fell down in Columbia to the Gamecocks.
Yeah. With Randy Mazey. Yeah, that you have to go all the way back to that year. But that was a very special team. And, man, if we can keep that up. Then,
what's Mazey's wife's name?
Amanda.
Amanda, yeah. Ross. But Amanda, I can't remember her name when she was on WITN. Amanda.
Amanda Ross.
Amanda Ross, yeah. I always thought she was an attractive. I didn't ever like her short hair, but very, very attractive girl back in the day on WITN.
Yeah, she's a very nice person. All right, Irving Bennett. Irving wants to go back to that stat. Guys, real quick, back to Queens College for a second. Has our athletics department secured a home-and-home with them in football yet? Forgive the sarcasm there, but we need Cliff Godwin to handle football schedules too.
You know what? If Queens College starts a football program, I guarantee you we'll play them.
Thank you, Irving. You made me smile on that one. Thank you, my friend. We have the best people for sure. And Bubba, I know now this part of the show, you want to go to the standings, and these are important because we're now tied with the Shockers for first place, right, my friend?
Yep. After the sweep of Wichita State, we're tied. They hadn't updated it for UTSA, but they did sweep. Took 2 out of 3 from UAB, and with that combined with the Pirates sweep of Wichita State, both the Pirates and Roadrunners are 11-4 atop the league, and it's really shaping up to be a two-team race. Not that one of those other teams, should East Carolina and UTSA stumble, that certainly could happen, but seems very, very unlikely at this point. It's going to likely come down to East Carolina and UTSA to see who is the regular season champion. Or if perhaps we have a co-champion, and then you have
the tiebreaker.
Yeah, you have Charlotte. The 49ers swept Memphis this weekend at home here in Charlotte and are now 8-7. That obviously catapulted them significantly up the standings, and they are 19-21 overall. Tulane, 7-8 after taking a series from Florida Atlantic down in Boca. So big series win for the Green Wave. Florida Atlantic is now 7-8. South Florida is 7-8 after losing all 3. Got swept at home by Rice, which was very surprising. And then you had rounding out the standings, Wichita State 7-8, Memphis 6-9, who the Pirates' opponent next weekend out in Memphis. Rice, that I mentioned, after a 1-8 start in league play, the Owls have won 5 out of their last 6, including that sweep this weekend.
And they get South Florida. And they get UTSA. They get UTSA in Houston this weekend.
And then the Pirates conclude the regular season with Rice. And then you have UAB in the cellar, but at least the Blazers did take care of business in one game, the Friday night game against UTSA, which was a little surprising. But that combined with the Pirates sweep has tied these two atop the standings.
And somebody needs to confirm this. Bubba said, and Bubba, if you've already confirmed it, then nobody needs to confirm it. But if you're just going off memory, maybe Johnny Robinson. But if we finish with the same record as UTSA, we will be co-champions. The tiebreaker does not hold rule with the champion, just the seeding. No, I'm not talking about seeding. I'm talking about championship.
Right. I was just talking about the tournament.
I just want to make sure that if anybody can confirm that we both finished with the same records, despite them winning head-to-head, that we would be co-champions. Because I think that's important with hosting. I think, not winning the regular season title would hurt our host. I think we still would have a good chance to host, even finish in second. But you at least want to finish as co-champions, and I just want to make sure that is the case, that the tiebreaker only applies for conference seeding or tournament seeding.
I think that's correct. I don't know that 100%, but
figured Johnny Robinson would know.
Come on, Johnny Stat, help me out. And Josh Thomas, how about our other Johnny Gardner? We'll see. Maybe they know. But if anybody does chime in on Facebook or YouTube, put in the comments section for sure. I tell you guys, let's talk about Tuesday night. I know we're getting closer to the end of the show. Tuesday is really, really big. Justin Butts said that is correct. So thank you, Justin.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's good to know. I hope we don't end up in that situation, but if we do, at least we will have won a conference championship again.
As you guys know, I love the secondary market for tickets. The tickets are averaging $15 to $182. So that's from the jungle to the Bubba position right behind home plate. Is
Tuesday night?
Yeah, Tuesday night.
I'm sure that's going to be packed, sold out. Looks like it's going to be some cool weather Tuesday night. But you got the Wolfpack coming to town. Obviously, we dismantled them in Raleigh earlier this year, so I'm sure they're going to come to town looking for payback. But hopefully they don't get any.
And you have AMAC coming back home, if you will. So that's Justin said he will not make Tuesday night's game, and it's killing him. Well, I know that feeling when my kids play sports. The midweek games are really tough, but that's okay because that's my job as a dad, and I enjoy watching my children play and practice. So I will not be at the game, but I know that place is going to be rocking. And like Kyle said, the most important thing, right, Kyle, is make sure you just dress accordingly. You said you're our staff.
Well, better weather report. It looks like it's going to be the in the 30s is going to be Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, which will be your low for Wednesday on most phones. It's on the left. If that low's on the left, that means it's going to occur in the morning. So the low Tuesday night looks like it's going to be about 50. So cool, but not that bad.
All right, that's a lot better. So just like a sweatshirt weather, right? A light jacket, but that's okay.
I ain't going to tell people how to dress. If you're a grown-up and you don't know how to dress for 51 degrees, then that's on you.
However you want to dress, it's fine. It's 2024, however you want to dress. You can wear shorts. Some of my friends, T-shirt and shorts, as long as the Pirates win. And if you want to have no shirt on out in the jungle, right?
Hey, I've seen a lot of girls, once April hits, they're wearing shorts and a hoodie. It could be 20 degrees. So I'm sick of wearing my shorts. I'm just going to put on a hoodie.
All right. There you go. There you have it. So however that works out, obviously the Pirates have the tough matchup on Tuesday night, in-state with NC State. And then, guys, we're going on the road. I know it's tough on the road, but we've got to get Kyle always talks about this. We've got to get the sweep on the road with the Memphis series. We've got to have that one.
Well, when you're in a battle, we're actually in a battle for the league at this point with UTSA. You don't have to sweep. It's on the road. I always think when you go on the road, 2 out of 3 is fine, but it'd be nice to get the sweep. It'll be interesting to see what UTSA does. Rice is hot all of a sudden, and UTSA's got to go to Houston. I believe, Bubba, am I correct? UTSA's coach is a former Rice player or either Wayne Graham assistant, or am I making that up?
You're correct. And Cliff referenced that when we played UTSA. His former Wayne Graham assistant. And you know, so
why the hell is he not the head coach at Rice?
That's a good question. A very, very good question. But we've got a
who knows? We shall see. Depending on how things progress, and for the current regime, he could be in the future, or maybe he chooses to kind of
do his
pave
own thing.
His own path somewhere else. I don't know.
No doubt. But we've got. We were talking about this, guys, about the scheduling gods, but they actually looked out for us because after Memphis, we have another long homestand with South Florida and obviously South Florida and Duke VCU. We were talking about that makeup game. So you're looking at five more games after Memphis. It'll be home. So if you can, what my point is, if you can do well on Memphis, you get the do well this week, you get the sweep at Memphis, then you got five more games straight at home. We're 20-2 at home, so I like my chances. We just got to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, no, keep on playing good baseball, and you know, very important road series this week against the Tigers.
Josh said, "Bet your tails, I'll be in the jungle Tuesday night." Do you guys in the chat? Do you guys have any more questions, comments? We've got a big week ahead. We'd love to comment. Thank you for, by the way, before I forget, thank you so much for listening and watching. A big crowd tonight. That's what happens, guys, when you have a great program, right? And we have people asking where we'll be. I know we have a friend of ours that doesn't like to talk about the polls. Not talking about on air, but off air. But certainly that'll be a curiosity. We've had that question in the chat tonight. Do you guys foresee us moving up any?
You know, I didn't keep up with the other scores of who is ahead of us. You know, you can do what you do, but if the other team ahead of you do what they're supposed to do, it's not going to matter much. We certainly won't go down any. Bubba, do you know, have you paid attention enough? And there's so many different polls, but do you know if we have much chance to move up in the rankings this week? Not that it really matters.
No, not really. I mean, I did follow some of the scores over the weekend and – let me see. I know Virginia, but Virginia's actually, you know, they're slightly behind us in the polls. But this is still worth noting as they're one spot behind us. The Cavs at 10th, Georgia Tech went into Charlottesville and really played well and scored 17 runs today. There have been some questions, from college baseball writers around the country, you know, whether, you know, specifically D1 baseball guys, you know, how good is Virginia's bullpen? Well, they certainly struggled this weekend as they dropped that series at home to Georgia Tech, losing 17-12 in the rubber match today. You had the series of the weekend, number 4 Tennessee taking on number 3 Kentucky, and Tennessee won a 13-11 thriller today.
Wow.
Up in Lexington, they lost game 1 5-3 on Friday, but then 9-4 and 13-11 victors to take the series. And so let's see. Duke is ranked 7th, and the Blue Devils went to Blacksburg and picked up a series win, so they will definitely not be dropping after a series win on the road against number 23 Virginia Tech. And that's all I'm seeing right now as far as teams ranked above East Carolina.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. That'll come out tomorrow, being Monday, for those that care and that follow that. Irving has a question, guys. He's just wondering, has Cliff done enough to be considered the best coach ever at ECU? He's starting creeping up on Coach O. Fast now, who is my vote for best ever. So what do you got?
It's a good question. It's hard to say. Keith would have probably gone down as the best ever had he not, you know, got sick. I mean, we were on a mission, path to Omaha. We would have made that. So, you know, it's hard to say. Keith is always going to get an honorable mention in my book. Coach O, was a different time in college baseball. We were a different program, but he, you know, was a consistent winner. Lots of NCAA regional appearances. You know, Mazie did his thing. Billy did his thing. Cliff would be in the conversation for sure. It would be Cliff or Coach O, with Keith LeClair, obviously, always right there. The only reason he's not was because of, you know, he wasn't here long enough for enough on of his own, obviously. But, you know, I would say Cliff is pretty close. I think if he gets us to Omaha, there will be no more question about, you know, who the greatest TCU baseball coach of all time is. And, you know, and it really doesn't really matter. I mean, Overton, Coach Overton, Coach O.
Just different eras.
Yeah, and what he meant to the program and what he still means to the program, you know, is fantastic. And like I say, you know, you always are going to have to put Keith in that conversation, Coach LeClair. But, you know, unfortunately, because of ALS, his run got cut short. But, yeah, Cliff has definitely done enough to be considered the greatest head coach in ECU baseball history. If you want to consider him that, I won't argue with you.
Yeah, we'll certainly do our best to get Coach O on perhaps next week for extra innings. But
we can ask him if he thinks he's better than Coach O.
Coach O certainly bleeds purple and gold. And you know, last week Johnny Gardner said when we were unable to hold that late lead to sweep Charlotte, you could tell Coach O was really having a struggle there on the field as he was interviewing Cliff, and just and such a heartbreaking loss.
It's obvious the coach is still in Coach O, obviously, and not only a coach, but the guy gave 45 years and he's still giving to the university 46 years now. So that's most of his life is to East Carolina for sure. By the way, speaking of a great Pirate fan, he's
hey,
on.
By the way, before you get off Coach O, something that I think needs to be said, and probably a lot of people wouldn't have the nerve to say it, but I think it's a compliment. Look, if you heard Coach O early on in his broadcasting career, he sucked. And he is an excellent broadcaster now. He has improved so much over the last 20 years or so of calling Pirate baseball. I remember when he first started back in like 04 doing the games with, I can't even remember who it was, but he was so unnatural at doing broadcasting. And he is so good now. He always knew baseball. That was never the issue. And he, I think, you know, and he worked well with, help me out, guys. He worked well with Corey, but him and Scooter have really good chemistry together. You can tell they get along. I'm sure Scooter grew up with Coach O as one of his mentors. And, you know, the way Scooter's loved baseball his whole life around Greenville. But they work well together. And Coach O is an excellent broadcaster now. And, you know, I mean that as a compliment when I say he was not very good when he first started. And I think he would tell you that. And I'll tell him next week on the air because it's a compliment. Because when you get better at something and you don't just, well, I'm not very good at this, so I quit. And he kept at it. And he's a good broadcaster now. Knowing baseball was never an issue with Coach O. But right. Do you guys agree with that? How much better he has gotten over the years?
I think it's experience, yeah, for sure. And he's very, I would say he's definitely more comfortable is the word I would use. He's more comfortable on the air. And he, like you said, he knows the game. He knows the history. The fact that he helps with the regional director. He has a lot of ends that a lot of the analysts wouldn't have. I think he has come a long way, but I think it's just a matter of being comfortable. He's done it so long. He knows not only the game, but he knows what to expect calling the game now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Shifting back to the top 10 discussion, Johnny Robertson said the Pirates were the only team in the D1 top 10 that didn't lose a game this week. Florida State and Oregon State each lost 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Oregon State, I knew that they had lost 3 times because they got swept at Cal, losing by 1 run, I think, yesterday and today, 8-7 and 4-3.
Oh, man.
And then Florida State, I was not aware of that. I did know that they had lost game one a close game to Wake Forest, and then they had bounced back with a 9-6 win in game two. Johnny, what was that score in game three, if you have that available?
Well, three times.
Just one moment. I hadn't closed that tab out.
That's good. We've got to go. We got to beat NC State again, obviously, and then take care of business with Memphis. You know, this, I heard, I think Scooter said it yesterday, if I'm off the top of my head, but it was, that we have a chance to, by the time the season's over, if we keep playing well, like we're playing, we can be a top five team, in the standings, which the only reason I bring it up is for hosting purposes, which I know we're
long. Where is it? Where are we at right now? And has anybody checked,
we're number RPI? 9, 8. Was last week, but I don't know where we are. That was
from the RPI is always fluid, so I mean it could change by the now and then change again by the end of the night, depending on who's playing. But if anybody has checked the RPI, what is the site, guys? My brain's not working right now.
Nolan,
Warren Nolan, thank you. Yeah, if anybody checked Warren Nolan for that RPI,
Johnny Roberts has said they 10-9 and they lost to Mercer 13-6, I guess, in the midweek. And Josh Thomas says we're 8 right now.
Still 8 in the RPI, okay.
Which, hey, we'll take it, man. We'll take it.
Hey, top 8 RPI is where you want to be.
So. We got to keep it. Yeah, we got to keep it going. And Bubba, with the NC State game, obviously with what they've been doing, we've got to win that game, in-state game. And then also with that Memphis series being away, that's going to help our RPI too, right? Being an away series. I know they're not I know it's not a big win, but the being this on the road.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Better than beating Memphis 3 games at home.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's probably good that we're taking a trip to
Memphis. Huge, walking it's, huge on for conference. It's huge for conference play, regardless of the RPI. But obviously, it's better for the RPI to get the wins on the road against a team like Memphis than at home.
Yeah, that's 8 right now. Wow, that's great. And like we said, guys, with the scheduling gods coming up, we're not looking ahead. But after you get by Memphis, you got and I don't mean get by them. I'm just saying after those games. Let me rephrase that carefully. You have 5 home games, so this week is so crucial because next week with a 5 game, or we'll have 5 games at home. And then we go to Tulane. So we've got to take care of business. And it's, as we always say, guys, sound like coach speak, one game at a time, right?
Yeah, no doubt. It's always one game at a time. NC State's next. That's a big one. Although to me, you know, you already beat them. To me, the bigger games are the Memphis series, because we're in a battle with UTSA in conference. But obviously you don't want the Wolfpack to come to your place and beat you. Be nice to sweep them for the year. Take both games from them. We gave the PGX.com player of the week. Have we given the pitcher of the week?
Trey Savage, 15 strikeouts and another solid start as he improved. I believe it's 8-1 on Friday. So congratulations to Trey.
No doubt.
On being named the PGXGloves.com pitcher of the week.
And speaking of PGXGloves.com, Kyle, I tell you what, my kids are in baseball, softball. People are asking me, where do you get these gloves? Well, you just go to pgxgloves.com. I know, Kyle, there are a lot of people that it's that time of year. People are getting ready to start playing more golf. And pgxgloves.com, not only they have baseball and softball stuff, but they also have stuff for golf, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you want some snazzy golf clubs, if you will, to go out there on the golf course and show off to everybody, say, hey, look at these gloves, don't you want them? Tell them to go to pgx.com to order them. They got all your golf club needs, softball, baseball, gloves for football players, any kind of gloves you want. Maybe, again, you want to protect, you're going to commit a homicide and you need something to hide your fingerprints. pgxgloves.com is the place for you. Maybe you can talk to them and you can get them to just design one rhinestone-type glove. Do the whole Michael Jackson thing. But go to pgxgloves.com, put in promo code ECU at checkout. Save yourself, I believe it's 20%. Is that right?
Yeah, put ECU in that promo
code. Promo code ECU, save yourself 20% and go get yourself some gloves for whatever your needs are, from baseball to golf to murder. PGXgloves.com will hook you up.
All right, guys. And by the way, a famous attorney said, remember that? Johnny Cochran, the late Johnny Cochran said, the glove doesn't fit, you must quit.
That's right.
Let's move to
RIP OJ.
That's right. Let's move to the 23 Club. You can go there. That's the, I guess, the spinoff, if you will, of Team Boneyard. You can go there. It's the23club.org and support Pirate Baseball today. It's really good stuff. And appreciate, speaking of Team Boneyard, thank you for all the NIL stuff. We don't have a lot of time. We're getting ready to wrap things up. Also, go to ecupirateclub.com, join the Pirate Club. Let's get this thing rocking. And by the way, guys, before we go, one more thing. I checked. We're less than $1 million away. We're so close to having the baseball expansion fully funded. I checked, so I wanted to throw that in at the end of the show. Please go and give money towards that. Pirates Unite is the campaign going on, and that will help out Pirate Baseball as well. And also the23club.org.
And if somebody wants to give me $2 million, I will gladly give $1 million to finish that expansion project.
That sounds like a great deal. You and your great wife, Jessica, will be living the high life, and I'm sure you would be able to donate more to the Pirate Club and season.
Absolutely. If somebody wants to give me $2 million, I promise I'll give $1 million to get that project done. I swear to God, promise, if somebody will do that.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much again to pgxgloves.com, Mark Minakazi, for all that he does for the show. And guys, great week ahead. Good luck to the Pirates.
Appreciate can I get one thing in, Dave, personally? I always mention this on the show, and I'm not looking for attention, just thoughts and prayers. I go in Friday for my 1 year post-chemo CT scan. I got to get one every 6 months. So you check to make sure the cancer hasn't come back. I was stage 3 colon cancer, for anybody that didn't know. So I get a CT of my abdomen and chest. They're checking my liver, my colon, my lungs, to make sure there's no signs of cancer. As also get tons of blood work and a results of a DNA cancer screening. So all that's coming up on Friday. So I'm very stressed out right now. So any positive thoughts and prayers are greatly appreciated.
Prayers up, my friend. We're going to stay positive. And Irving says, prayers on the way, Kyle. Thank you, Irving, very much. And all the Pirate Nation, they've had a lot of positive comments and prayers over the last year or more for Kyle. Thank you so much. And we're going to keep our prayers. And let's hope, I don't like for time to go, but for your sake, I hope Friday comes very quick. We get great news, and you can share that on, obviously, our social media. Guys, thank you so much. Kyle, best of luck to you this week, my friend. Best of luck to the Pirates. You've been watching and listening to The Extra Innings, presented by pgxgloves.com, right here on The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates!
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by pgxgloves.com on The Sports Objective. Join us again next Sunday night as we will again talk East Carolina Pirate Baseball. Be sure to follow The Sports Objective on social media. It can be found at The Sports OBJ on X, at The Sports Objective on Instagram and TikTok. Like and follow the show on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, be sure to click the notification bell and all so you're alerted on your device anytime we go live or upload new content. As always, we appreciate you watching and listening to the show. Go Pirates!